The book Arming America, The Origins of a National Gun Culture, won awards, praise, and critical attention when it was released about a year ago. The work by Emory University historian Michael Belisle argued that most Americans didn't own, use, or really care much about firearms until the Civil War. Historians, legal scholars, and some gun control advocates championed the book, but fellow historians have discredited the work as inaccurate and possibly fraudulent. Emory University has launched an investigation, and some American historians say the credibility of the profession is at stake. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Michael Belisle's work sent a buzz through the American history world and landed squarely in the wider public debate on guns and gun regulation in America. Belisle challenged decades of work that argued that firearms were integrally linked to America's past and cultural identity ever since the Revolution. Here's Professor Belisle speaking on NPR's Morning Edition in a story by this reporter in 1999.
Well, in fact, it's a very attractive myth that has been constructed and was constructed after the Civil War, that guns have always formed part of our cultural life. When I tabulated the statistics for the late 18th century, I found that only 13% of all probate records contained guns.
Scouring those records, as well as court, newspaper, and other documents, Belisle argued that only 15 to 20% of colonial Americans had guns, and that even fewer had the time or money to learn to shoot straight or maintain what few guns were around. It was only when mass gun production began in the 1850s, he argued, and the rise of mass culture after the Civil War, that guns became commonplace in American society. When his book came out in 2000, it was praised by colleagues as groundbreaking. He went on to win the prestigious Bancroft History Prize and landed on the front page of the New York Times Book Review. There were print, TV, and more radio interviews. The Atlanta academic was emerging from the scholarly journals as a star public intellectual.
On today's Fresh Air, the origins of American gun culture. We talk with historian Michael Belisle. His new book, Arming America, argues that the image of the early Americans protecting themselves with guns is a myth.
At first, the vocal criticism of Belisle's book was largely political. Gun rights advocates charged that an anti-gun bias had fogged his research. Belisle says he was bombarded with angry emails, phone calls, and even received a death threat. He says he moved partly out of fear for his family's safety. Two American history organizations passed resolutions supporting Belisle and denouncing that harassment. But then historians of early America began to try to verify Belisle's work and sources, and many were left deeply puzzled and troubled.
It really appears to be far beyond, it's way beyond the normal level of error in a scholarly work.
Historian Randy Roth of Ohio State University says when he and other scholars asked to check Belisle's sources, Belisle said he couldn't really help them. He told them his notes were handwritten on legal pads, not on a computer, and that those pads were destroyed in a flood. Emory University confirms the water damage to his office, but Roth and others then checked probate and other documents Belisle cites and found that his gun counts were off, way off. Then things get even more weird. Belisle cites California records that historians would love to see, but that don't exist. Those documents were destroyed in the great 1906 San Francisco earthquake and fire. And then there are those state records Belisle cites from 1760s Vermont. That's odd, Professor Roth thought. Vermont didn't declare itself a republic until 1777.
That's what's so difficult about it for everybody in the profession right now, that the level of error is when you're off by factors of three or four, or when you cite records that a lot of us have wanted to see for a long time, but they don't exist. It seems to be not a problem of interpretation or of method or of the kinds of evidence looked at. It seems to be a problem of accuracy. We just can't reproduce Michael's counts, and every time we go to try to check something, it confirms the previous scholarship that Michael was trying to overturn.
Roth and others examined Belisle's work in depth in a just-released special issue of the William & Mary Quarterly. Rice University military historian Ira Gruber says Belisle's Arming America suffers from, quote, consistently biased reading of sources and on careless uses of evidence and context. And even Belisle's Emory University colleague, Pulitzer Prize-winning political historian David Garrow, says the Quarterly's forum makes a, quote, powerful case for the charge of scholarly incompetence. Professor Belisle wouldn't talk on tape, but he tells NPR that the mistakes in his book are human ones, normal for any large scholarly work. He denies he fabricated anything and says his colleague's criticism is more a, quote, matter of interpretation of sources, what constitutes a full or partial probate record, and the vagaries of interpreting what's a working gun or not. but early American historian Gloria Main of the University of Colorado says Belial was reckless and overstated the reliability and completeness of male probate records.
It was perfectly legal for a decedent prior to death to make gifts, and he could have given away favorite fishing rods, favorite guns, favorite dogs. Pets do not appear in anybody's inventory. These are things that are by custom excluded.
Meantime, Professor Belial calls most criticism that goes beyond the interpretive debate political. He tells NPR, the public doesn't seem to appreciate the participation of scholars in the public life of America. Whenever an academic tries to come out of the ivory tower and engage in public discourse, he's almost immediately chased back into the tower, end quote. But Professor Main says Belial's work, in a nutshell, is inaccurate. And there's nothing less at stake in the Emory investigation, she says, than the credibility of historians.
If we simply assert that these are our findings, take it or leave it, then what we're left with is opinion, not scholarship. We're supposed to be exercising critical skills. And if we're taking them on their word, simply because perhaps we like the results, then we lose credibility as intellectuals.
The Belial controversy comes on the heels of several other blows to the public trust bestowed on writers of American history. Mount Holyoke professor Joseph Ellis recently admitted he lied for decades about serving as a Vietnam War paratrooper. In addition, it surfaced that historian Stephen Ambrose and Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Doris Kearns Goodwin failed to acknowledge numerous quotations and passages from other scholars' work in some of their best-selling books. Michael Belial tells NPR of the critics, it's easy to go after Ambrose, Kearns, Goodwin, and me. We're easy targets. We largely work alone and don't have teams of lawyers. When we're attacked, it's just us, end quote. But more and more of Belial's colleagues are saying this is no attack, but a fundamental question of accuracy, one Emory University is now trying to sort out. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.